I guess it's time to do the show. And oh, what a show. What a show. It's the news according to me. I'm in Appleton, Wisconsin again. I seem to spend a lot of time up here. Occasionally. It's been over a month since I've been here. Last time I was here, I think it was 14 below zero. Something ridiculous. I don't know. I thought spring was on its way, and then, of course, that's Appleton spring. That's Appleton right now. What is the temperature outside? Let me just take. I'll give you a little bit of a weather report here in Appleton. Currently, the Appleton temperature is 36 degrees. That's springtime here. You're going to have a high of 57 today. That's like summertime weather right there. Yeah, it's ridiculous here. And I, because of that, all I have in my cup is water. Everything else is frozen. My hot tea is frozen. I didn't have time to make hot tea this morning. I just got out of the gym, had some breakfast, and it is now 8:17 Eastern time. It's 7:17 here locally. So for those of you who think it's really early, it's not that early. Boy, I've been saying for a while that something was afoot, something was up with the upcoming elections, just months away here. Interesting how this all plays out. Now, I don't know, I don't think this is something that the leftists planned with regard to the Roe v. Wade decision thing that's happening. And they haven't made a decision yet. However, you can see here how the machine works if you look very carefully at what's going on. And this is kind of a learning moment for those of you on the left who are kind of, or those of you on the right, or those of you on the left who are questioning what's going on the left. Anyone who wants to question what's going on in politics or having some interest in politics and the political stuff that goes on. I've noticed recently, talked to a few young people, and they have no interest. Supposedly, they have no interest in politics, and they have no idea how influenced they are by politics. They have no idea how much it affects their life and their future. And that troubles me. However, I don't expect much more from young kids. I had some political views as a young kid, but I can't say that I was politically active. And I mean that in a normal term. In other words, engaged in what was going on politically, understanding it and having some basis for argument and debate, being able to articulate what I believed and some opinions about what was going on with the world of politics. I'm not one who comes up with solutions very well. I can be pretty creative and I can come up with creative ideas. However, I don't, there are other people who have studied this stuff and they understand what's going on politically, who have brilliant minds with regard to how this can be fixed in a good way. And I have a lot of respect for those people. They have a mind that goes well beyond, what mine. And if it comes to fixing something, like a lawnmower, I'm your guy. But I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not an epidemiologist. I'm not a psychologist or a family counselor. I'm not a financial advisor. I can barely hold on to this bottle of water after my workout this morning. It's been a while since I had a really hard, I call it a compound workout. I do this thing where I use weights, but I also do, it's kind of like a calisthenics type stuff. Kind of combine the weights with calisthenics, and in between each rep, I do setups typically or push-ups. I do something between sets. And for about 15 minutes, my heart is pounding out of my chest, and I usually walk away feeling like a wet noodle, that's just the way I like to feel. I walk away. And then I'm in a hotel. Like I said, I've said this before. Like I said it yesterday, I take the steps up and down. I'm not saying this to brag. This is the routine you have to do when you get up to be my age and you have to, kind of, you're trying to stave off the chubbies, because the chubbies can catch up with you pretty quickly. And I don't enjoy it, really. I enjoy feeling better, and I enjoy feeling fit when I'm my clothes not, you know, being busting out, the busting buttons off my shirt and stuff. I enjoy that part of it. Don't enjoy the workout. I used to enjoy workouts. I used to hit the gym twice a day. I used to love doing it when I was a kid. But not so much anymore. I used to do it before I actually wake up. I get up. I just get up and get out of bed, roll out. I just go down to the gym before I even realize I'm there. I wake up about halfway through my workout, and I realize, oh, this is miserable. and then I, you know, go eat some chocolate cake. Typically, makes me feel better. So I have this whole thing. I've been saying that I believe that the Dems are planning something else. I think it's going to be a catastrophic nationwide, if not worldwide, issue. Some kind of pandemic issue. Cases are on the increase. We have a new strain of the virus. We have to lock everybody down and make sure that they vote by mail. Something to that effect. Or there's going to be something else happening. This whole Roe v. Wade thing may be their plan. They've also talked about, there's some people have come out and said that they want to, they're encouraging Trump to be allowed back on Twitter, because it will remind everyone. Having him back on Twitter will remind everyone how crazy things were. This is how delusional these people are. That'll make us forget about the fact that we were paying $2 a gallon for gas. I was paying less than that, actually, in our area. That we weren't on the brink of nuclear war. North Korea wasn't shooting off missiles. The economy was strong. Unemployment was at an all-time low. We were energy independent. But we had mean tweets. Those mean tweets will remind everybody how crazy he is. And they'll vote Democrat again. I don't think Trump will go back on Twitter. Now, he might eventually. I don't think he's going to do it before the election. And if he does, I don't think it'll have any impact whatsoever, really, one way or the other. It'll polarize some people. He's a very polarizing individual. There's no question about that. But getting back to this whole thing with these young kids, it surprises me that you don't realize the influence that the political spectrum has on your life. And when you wake up to that, you realize how you've been bamboozled into thinking that, oh yeah, I'm just mainstream. I'm common sense guy. I'm in the middle of all this, but you're just going along with the flow. You're a lemming. You haven't thought for yourself at all. And that's what troubles me about some of the young people. And I have to say, I was probably one of those. I was a pretty forthright individual. I was pretty strong-willed in some ways, and had some serious political opinions. Even as a kid in grade school, I remember being probably more politically engaged than most of my classmates. I was going to, when I kind of woke up was during the time of Nixon. Nixon was the first president that I really remember paying attention to. Now, Nixon had his issues. He had some personality issues, had some stuff going on. I don't like some of the things, some of the policies that he instated. I'm finding out now some of the things he did. Now, that being said, at the time, what he was doing was actually, if he would have remained in office until the end of his administration, and there wouldn't have been this big, what I think now, looking back on it, was a kangaroo court. They made more out of the scandal than it was. And of course, this is the way the left does things. they were good at it then, and they're still thinking that same strategy is going to work again. They tried it on Trump as well. They even brought back the same people, same reporters. These old guys came out of the closet. Oh, here we are, because they were probably literally in the closet, by the way. Tubin doesn't bother going in the closet. He just forgets to turn his camera off. But they came out of they came out from the woodwork, and literally Woodward. These people come back. Well, this is just like Watergate. There we are again. We're back in Watergate again. This is a scandal. He made a phone call to the president of Ukraine, and he asked them to investigate. He wanted to investigate some things, and he wasn't going to give them their aid until they, he was wanting a quid pro quo. Whatever. But the Biden family can do millions of dollars worth of business. Well, that wasn't Joe. That was his son. We don't know anything about that. You have to talk to the Justice Department about that, and Hunter's representation. You have to talk. I'll talk to them because he doesn't work for the government. Doesn't work for the White House. Oh, but he's in the White House all the time. He was riding on Air Force Two all the time. Actually, I think he was on Air Force One a couple times. Yeah, so that we're just supposed to, turn a blind eye to that. Oh, that was okay. That was okay. Because that was Joe. And Joe doesn't have mean tweets. So therefore, that's okay. As much investigation as there has been into the life of Donald Trump, and now there's this crazy, insane, delusional prosecutor in New York who's gone after Trump, who will not give up. The prosecutor's staff walks off the job. Because there's no case. People are, just basically walking away from it. They're like, I want to get this guy too, but there's nothing here. You can't convict someone of just being themselves. Just because you don't like who they are. Well, that's against the law, because I don't like who you are, so we're going to criminalize you. That's basically what they've done. And these young kids today just follow along with that. They just go along with this idea that, Trump is terrible. Trump is, Trump can't come back. He's evil. He's the bad guy. But they can't explain to you what it is. And when they do say something about what it is, or they get worked up about it, so worked up about it, they don't want to talk about it. Oh, I don't want to talk about it. Oh, he's just, you're one of those people. That's where they go with it. When you just ask them simple questions, whether you're a Trump supporter or not, if you ask them some questions about, for instance, I had this conversation with a young person who was talking about how they wrote a report on how Donald Trump was racist. I said, well, okay, what exactly was it that he said that was racist? They said, they kind of backed off, and the father stepped in and said, "Well, he said some things early on in the election that was based on some of the things that were early in the election." End of discussion. No more discussion needed. They just wanted to end the discussion right there. No answer to the question. Typically, the answers that you get are there were good people on both sides. That line comes up, and then there's the line of, oh, there's bad hombres coming across the border. This happened before the election. Even he was saying things about how they're not sending us their best people. The border has to be. This is the wall thing. The whole thing about the wall being built. They're all upset about that. And unfortunately, that's not, the wall isn't racist. But that was the impression that they would leave you with. Now we're seeing the narrative again being shaped and formed and forged into something else with this whole Roe v. Wade thing. Now let me just break this down a bit. I know some other pundits have already done this, but I want to do this as well. Because I've got possibly a different audience. Maybe you haven't heard some of these things. It's very interesting. I talked about this on yesterday's show. It's very interesting that the news media was the organization, I think it was Politico, maybe, that revealed this information, this brief. This was a scoop on their part. They would consider, we got the scoop on this. We got the story. And of course, it spread like wildfire to all the other networks. And you see, you have to understand, this information didn't just get, you know, left on somebody's desk and accidentally get over, you know, seen by someone, and then it was leaked out. This was a deliberate event. And the narrative or the words that are being used, and this is in both cases, the case of the leak itself, the, I'm going to call it espionage act of letting this information out, that as well as the information they're talking about with Roe v. Wade and abortion itself in general, with the right to an abortion that the left is crafting right now. This has to do with women's reproductive rights or women's rights for their bodies, whatever it is. It's crazy talk. They're reshaping, reforming, and redoing the whole narrative, which is that's typical of the leftist crazy nuts. They're saying that if you listen carefully to the way the reporters on the left are talking about the leak. This information was disclosed. It was almost like a hero, a whistleblower. This is the kind of language that they haven't used the word whistleblower yet. But they're considering this person who released this information on this to be they were the hero. Now, the reason for leaking this information was to energize and organize the base. And the base is the leftist radicals I'm talking about. Within hours, they were mobilized. There were people protesting in big cities and protesting all over the country, in D.C. and everywhere else. All of a sudden, the machine was on. And this became the issue, hotbed issue, on every network, front page, front line, and top story of the day. All of a sudden, the war in Ukraine was gone. All of a sudden, COVID was gone again and again. All of a sudden, the economy and inflation was all, you know, we're not talking about that either. It's all about Roe v. Wade. The political football of the day is Roe v. Wade. Now, understand, if Roe v. Wade is overturned, it does not abolish, this is the biggest thing right here to realize, it does not abolish abortion. It turns it back to states' rights, which is where it should have always been anyway. This idea that all of a sudden it's not a constitutional right to have an abortion is actually accurate. It never was a constitutional right. In fact, if you believe as I believe, I know that I'm I know that there are people who will intellectually and supposedly scientifically argue against this thought, this idea. They'll laugh at what I'm about to say, which is, that's their problem. I'm an old man, I don't care. You'll laugh at me if you want. I believe that conception, how they define conception is also a little bit screwy, but I think you understand what I'm saying when I say conception. Life begins. It's not a dog. It's not a plant. It's not a set of cells. There is the beginnings of a human being. That's what I believe. And that life, regardless of where it is, whether it's in the womb or not, and whether or not it's able to sustain itself or not, I know people who are 40 years old. Now you stop and think about this. Well, if you can't sustain yourself, that's not really a life worth protecting. Oh, so if you're on food stamps, you're not able to sustain yourself. Right? You have to very much on the government teat. You're still soaking from the people, aren't you? If you want to go down that road, I'm not saying I understand. There needs to be a safety net. People need to have the ability to, you know, we need to take care of each other. I just don't like this idea of the government stepping in and having that kind of power. I think that local populations And really the church, in my opinion, is the one who should be the social net, network, safety net in the community. I believe that's very biblical, actually. That when people need help in the community, they can turn to the church as an organization. That's the one thing the institution should be there for, is to be the safety net for the community. And yet that's not the case anymore. It's just, let's do everything we can to have a perfect show on Sunday morning so that people give more money and they'll keep coming back and they'll keep making payments on our big building here. It becomes a machine. And, you know, people come in and off the street and they need help. And it's like, wow, we don't have a fund for that. And here's $20. See you later. Go down to the next church. Now, there are people who go through the phone book. I understand this. There are people in the community who go through the phone book and they ask for help every week from every church out there. They just keep calling church. They got a list of churches in the community and they just go through the church bullet, the book, and they just start asking for help. That's how they make their living. That literally is how they do every week. And they're probably still on food stamps and they still get all kinds of government help. And they might even be on support or disability. And they just go through there. There are scammers out there, unfortunately. Unscrupulous individuals. And most of them vote Democrat. But maybe, I don't know. I'm just saying, I don't know. The interesting thing about this whole thing, the thing to watch in this whole, this is why I like to point this stuff out, because it kind of helps to educate folks in terms of to watch, how do you watch this happen? And how do you look past the narrative? How do you look past the crazy, nutty stuff that's going on? So we have the whole thing of this, how this leaked out and how they're talking, how the left is talking about it. They're not saying this was a criminal act, which it was, by the way. Now, I understand this. Here's how I view this. Let's say that it was Kagan or Sotomayor, or even if it was Gorsuch that released this information, or somebody on their staff. Even if they did it without their knowledge, they're responsible for it. If I have an organization, if I have a business, and somebody in my business does something illegal, I am, to some degree, responsible for that. Now, maybe I had no knowledge of it, but I can certainly be investigated whether or not I was involved in that or not. I am responsible for the people who are under my charge. In other words, I feel that that's a responsibility that I have as an employer or in any kind of leadership position, that I have that obligation, I have that responsibility. Now, we'll see if there is actually an investigation done. Now, supposedly John Roberts is going to have this investigation done, a probe. They're going to do a probe into how this information got leaked. This is not John Roberts' position to take here. He can have a probe if he wants to. This is a criminal investigation. There needs to be, and of course, who are we going to trust to do that? The FBI? That's going to go over really well. What legal organization are we going to trust with this? This will be, these people, and by the way, this is unprecedented. It's never happened before, so at least not in modern times, how that we know of, how do you, they don't even have a path here to know what to do. However, it's, you know, of course, the media is not going to press into it as if it's a criminal investigation. They think this guy's a hero. This person's a hero, whoever released this information. Now, they're already making threats to the justice. Now, a couple things this is going to trigger. One is it's going to try to energize their base for the elections in the fall. Of course, they're already saying, oh, they've come after that. Now they're going to come after abortion. Now they're going to go after interracial marriage next. They're drawing all kinds of conclusions, all kinds of straw man arguments, all kinds of crazy nutty case stuff. In the meantime, this is also going to trigger this idea that we need to pack the court. We need to put more people on the court. And of course, They know that's an unpopular thing as well. But they're so locked in their little bubble, I don't think they can see that anymore. I don't think they can see the consensus of the independents and the American people and those who care about what's going on or paying any attention. All they listen to is their radical base and the leftists and the crazy people. That's the ones that they try to appease now. And they're getting so far from the common sense American that most of the people now are, you know, every time they go to fill up their tank, twice, you know, two or three times a week, they're thinking, you know, this is just nuts. Food prices are going up. Everything's going up. I used to be able to go to the grocery store for $200. You could buy groceries for a week. Well, you can't do that for a person. You can't do that anymore. Just the cost of getting back and forth to the, you know, truckers are paying twice in fuel what they were, you know, a year ago. That trickles down to everything. Everything gets to your store, local store here, by truck, by the way. You don't use horse and buggies anymore. So that's the one part of this. The other part of this, just the way it's being released and the way it's being talked about. The other part of this is the actual law itself. And I've touched on this already, but this is not going to abolish or ban abortion. Now maybe that's the next step. States can now ban abortions, by the way. That is one right that the states will have. But it doesn't make a federal ban on abortions. And they're acting like that's what it does. They're trying to blow this up into something much bigger than it is. It simply puts the rights of the people to make those decisions back into the power of the state, which is closer. It's a closer government to you, to the individual. And they don't like that. They like centralized power. And this idea that this is a terrible thing for tens of millions of women. No. By the way, most abortions, by far, at least by capita, and also just in percentage-wise, vast majority of abortions happen among minorities. So, and if you just want to talk about rape and incest, let's just go there. Okay, let's say no abortions except for those who are rape and incest, and you'll be down to like less than 0.1% of the population that has abortions for that purpose. That's a huge milestone. That's some progress. I still don't agree with it, but that's regardless. That's all I really wanted to talk about this morning. Just kind of it's a rapid fire kind of monologue, I guess. It's concerning. It's deeply concerning about what's going on. And however, I do believe that before the midterm elections here coming up in November, that there's going to be something serious, even bigger than this, that they're going to try to roll out. And I have a feeling it may have something to do with a medical emergency again, possibly another COVID outbreak of some kind, or something's going to happen. So who knows? Some kind of terror threat, whatever it's going to be. Something is going to happen. I think they have plans to try to do something. Nancy Pelosi's pushing off this idea that the economy thing is all an aberration. That it's actually where there's growth in the economy. It depends on what you look at. There's growth in the economy. There's growth. They're trying to, as Barack Obama would say when he was talking about certain political candidates, it's like putting lipstick on a pig. He actually said that. And he was referring to, I can't think of her name right now, John McCain's running mate. In 2012. Or was it 2008? I can't remember. I think it was 2008, because 2012 was Romney. Yeah. 2008. It was McCain and what's her name? Alaskan governor. She could see Russia from her house. No, she didn't. She never said that, by the way. They're terrible with names this morning. So I have, this is the kind of thing that they're doing. And the end justifies the means, again, like I've always said. So we'll see what ends up playing out here in the next few months. But I do have some concerns that they're going to try some kind of a disaster, some kind of an emergency, national emergency, to press us into accepting some kind of strange electoral process. Or at least to try to mitigate the damage that they get. They know they're probably going to lose the House and the Senate. Now, the Republicans are all salivating about this. However, you have to realize there's some Republicans that are scared of this. Republicans love to lead from behind. They love to be the bad guy. They love to be the guy who's, or the gal who is the underdog. Oh, we're fighting so hard. You got to send us more money because we're fighting back. We're going to try to... But, you know, even though we have zero power, we have, you know, Democrats are all lockstep doing what they're doing. And they're voting all together as one block. There's never, you know, it's very rarely just one or two that will vote any differently than the rest of the gang there. And the Republicans are all over the chart. We've got several Republicans that are mealy-mouthed. They're basically Democrats. And once the Republicans get out front, they're like, well, we don't want to push our weight around. We don't want to be bullies. We want to try to work with the Democrats. Here we go again. Just nothing but compromise. We saw this as a perfect example was Obamacare. They voted, I think they put bills out to vote against or vote down Obamacare like 132 times or something during the time that they actually had control of the Congress. I think, of course, it got voted down. Right. No, they didn't. I think they didn't have control of the Congress. But they put this thing out there to try to vote against it because they knew it was it wasn't going to go anywhere. As soon as they got control of the Congress, they never put it up for vote. Never. When they finally had the opportunity to do so and do something about it, they never put it up there because they like to lead from behind. They like to be the underdog. They like to be the guy. They don't like to be out in front. They don't know what they're... It's like a dog chasing a car. They'd love to chase the car, but then when they catch the car, they don't know what to do with it. It's kind of where they're at. It's just cowardice, in my opinion. No fortitude. I didn't see how the primaries turned out yesterday. It was be interesting to see how some of those kind of things happened, but I haven't had a chance to look at that. We'll talk about that possibly later today or tomorrow morning. I'll talk about it tomorrow morning when I find out more about the results, but I hear my bumper music, so... God bless everybody. Have a great day. It's Wednesday, May 4th.